the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things to your beloved Son, whom you anointed priest forever and king of all creation, grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by power of sin, may be united under the glorious and gentle rule of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. By the watercourses in all the inhabited parts of the land, I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on the rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 95 responsibly. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him in song.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are also his.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A second reading, a reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, the power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
Well, I don't pay rent. I don't really need the money. There's always rent to have stuff coming in. I don't think they'll be able to pay you anything. They lost everything in the storm, including their job. Well, the mine operator won't be able to stay. I need to keep my options open. Good luck. Hi! Hi!
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling from the church. I have a couple of hurricane victims that are really needing a place to stay. Do you have a room available?
Oh, you bet. I was hoping to rent it out, but I don't really need the money. So of course they can stay here. Bring them on over and I'll serve them with the dinner ready. See you soon.
Thanks.
There's nothing like hot burger and ice cream. Oh, geez, that woman's scared now. Especially she came up every week and she gave me a job or a contract.
Oh, man. I love cheeseburgers and fries.
Wow, she's here again. I wonder how often she gets the chance to eat a hot meal. I wonder why I decided to live her life. Thank God I didn't have to. But still, I bet she's hungry. Excuse me, are you hungry? Would you like to join me for lunch?
Look at her there. She's really
a joke. She didn't sell.
You just put a little love in your heart. Yeah. Oh, geez. That's what I offer.
No. Rub. Are you sick?
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will put the sheep at His right hand, and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at His right hand, Come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Then he will say to those that is left, You that are accursed, depart from me, for truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it for me.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Peter's on Christ the King Sunday. I did some research on the internet this last week about monarchies. Here's some interesting facts. There are 193 countries in the world. 30 of those countries have some kind of monarchy. That means that 15% of countries in the world have some kind of king or queen. Now, I was interested in monarchies, kings especially, because in the Gospel, Jesus is portrayed as a king. In the New Testament, he's portrayed as many things. He's called the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Lamb of God, but he's also called the King of Kings. Now, I've heard some people say that in the United States, the description of Jesus as king is irrelevant and it has no meaning because most Christians in America don't know what it's like to live in a monarchy. There are a few exceptions. In fact, when we hear about royalty, we probably think of Queen Elizabeth, Prince Charles, Princess Diana, or perhaps our minds go back to the Middle Ages where there was an age of tyrants, where the kings were cruel. Maybe when we think of a monarchy, we think of elitist, greedy, kind of far-off people. However, when Jesus came to earth, he lived the example of what a good king does for his people. And he established for us a kingdom unlike any other. The Gospel of Matthew says this: "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus established for us an upside-down kingdom where the king lowers himself to serve the people. And in his upside-down kingdom, those who are prized highly are those who make themselves servants to anyone and everyone. In today's gospel reading, we have two people who come before the King of Kings and they're judged. Now this passage is interesting because these people are not judged on what they believe. In this passage, the people are judged on how generously they lived their lives. One attribute of the people in the kingdom of God is that they're generous. And true generosity takes work. It's something that doesn't come naturally to most of us. In this gospel, it seems as though these people were judged on two kind of overarching things. The first one, they were judged on how generous they were with their possessions and how generous they were with their time. The most valued possession in American society is money. And we in the church have this goal for tithes and offering, and we often hear the 10% mark. We've all heard that, right? 10%. But when Jesus is talking about physical things like money, he is describing much deeper spiritual issues. He is talking about the condition of our hearts. The goal for us is to have a transformed heart that is generous, not a number we can write down on a piece of paper. I can only imagine what it would be like if every person here at St. Peter's was generous with their money. Now, there may be some here who are like, "I'm drowning in credit card debt, and I can't give. I don't have the means, and giving to a church or any other organization would be just too much of a burden." Well, I believe that God wants us to go from A to B, not A to C. So the goal for those of us who are in debt is to first and foremost get out of debt so that we can be generous. But for those of us who do give, can we increase our giving by 1% every year? If we gave 5% this last year, next year, can we give 6%? Or if we're giving 10%, next year, can we give 11% or 15%? If you're giving 15%, can we give 16%? Ultimately, the goal isn't a number. The goal is to be more generous than we were the previous year. The goal is to never settle, but to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that is to be generous. Did anybody notice the poster or the 8.5 by 11 sheet posted in the fellowship hall that was given to us by the Synod office? Last year, our church was able to pass along to the Synod office around $28,000. How awesome would it be if next year we could give over $30,000? When we donate to the church passes it along to the Synod or to the church-wide, which passes it along to excellent organizations like Lutheran World Relief. And if we contributed to the church, then the story of Lutheran World Relief is our story. The story of helping those who survived Hurricane Katrina becomes our story. The story of curing AIDS in Africa can be claimed as our own because we participated in giving towards. When we become more generous, we are expanding the kingdom of Jesus because our money goes directly towards his work. Now we can be more generous. We can be generous with other things other than money. Our church has a bin out here that is specifically for a thrift store. We can donate to that and be generous with our belongings with that. We have a food pantry here in Ocean Beach, Loaves and Fishes, who are always taking canned foods. St. Vincent de Paul is always taking automobiles. The gospel asks us to give generously, not hoard what the Lord has blessed us with. All right, that's enough about money. Last week, I was sitting in a pew looking up and down the rows of people, and I realized that the people who I've come to know here, most of them are involved in some kind of ministry in the church. How impressive that over half of our congregation is generously donating their time to different ministries in the church. It's unlike any other church that I've seen. But I can only imagine what it would be like if every person donated their time generously. Now giving our time is one of the most difficult things that we can give. Life is hectic, and there are things that need to get done. But often, we fill our schedules to a breaking point. And often, it's to our own detriment. If we don't have time to serve or to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and being generous with our time, then we are too busy. How awesome would it be if this week the deacons' phones were flooded with phone calls, sorry, Annika, of people who wanted to go with them to visit those who were homebound or those who were sick or those who were in prison. How awesome would it be if the nominating committee didn't have to seek out names, but already had a list full of people who wanted to generously donate their time. Since we're working on being deliberate with our generosity, and if we don't have a ministry that we're actively involved in right now, can we this week find 5 minutes and write a card to somebody who's sick, a get well card? Can we take 15 minutes and call them? Or can we take an hour and visit them? There is no magical number that God requires of us to serve. He wants from us a changed heart that rushes to be generous. You see, generosity is more than giving our time or our money. Generosity is about giving our whole lives to Christ our Lord. And by doing that, we are expanding His kingdom on earth. We pray for it every Sunday. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We are the people of God, building up the kingdom of God. And we're doing it here and now. And by being generous, we will not only just change our church, we will change our community, and eventually in the last days, we will change the world. And the good news is that we have a King who loves us. We have a King who comforts us. And we have a King who encourages us to be generous. Amen.